I'm Dr. Stephanie Munt.
And I'm Dr. Ellie Summers.
And this is Two Women Running Their Mouths, a podcast for women who run by women who run. Our 80-20 rule, 80% dishing, 20% running. Two Women Running Their Mouths, a podcast by women who run for women who run. I may have flipped that this time. For women who run by women who run.
Yes, welcome back. We are on, what is this, episode 3, I think, for our second season. And today we're going to be discussing strength training for women athletes and how it applies, if you need to be doing it, what to do, why do it. All the fun things. We love strength training here. So
we do. We absolutely do. So let's see, where should we start within that? I guess the first thing you mentioned, well, somewhere in there, why would we do strength training as female athletes?
Yeah, gosh, so many incredible reasons to integrate strength training into your programming if you are a runner, especially. And really, if you're any athlete, I think this sort of broad brush stroke topic of conversation can apply to women athletes of all kinds, but definitely for runners. So why add strength training? Well, we know that strength training itself is going to offer muscle building properties, which I think logically is a positive thing for any athlete to obtain, but specifically for runners, we know that heavy resistance training and plyometric explosive exercises can improve things like running economy. And running economy itself is a form of improving your running efficiency, your effectiveness in training. So that's just like one sort of performance benefit, I would say, to add resistance training into your life and routines. But I think some of the other reasons involved in strength training are a little bit more less tangible in ways. So I'm going to throw that back at you, Steph, and say, why don't you give us one reason why you think a woman should add strength training?
In addition to muscle building, I think the other thing we're finding out that is really important for long-term health is the potential to improve bone health. And I did not recognize that or know that years ago. So that's been a really big eye-opener to me. And I think the correct dosage and intensity is still being worked out. But the fact that we can lift heavy things and potentially improve our resistance to fracture as we get older, and knowing that still, you know, fracturing a hip is a big cause of mortality and morbidity in older females. If we can build our bone as much as possible just by lifting weights as when we're younger,
why not?
Awesome. Yeah, that's incredible. So that's one of my biggest reasons. And in addition to, well, let's flip back to you for another.
Back and forth. Yeah. Snip, snap. That was an Office reference for any of you out there who might know.
I hope we have Office fans on here.
I know.
Great show. So let's see. We talked about muscle building, performance, muscle building or muscle strength, bone health. What else?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think bone health is a really important one to like center things on, especially for women athletes. I don't think we need to go into some of the nitty gritty there. If you're interested in learning more about this, we are currently in the midst of doing a webinar, a 4-part series webinar with our colleagues, Renee Hodges and, oh my God, Abby. Abby Preachy, woo, little bit of performance anxiety happening right now. And that 4-part webinar series is about resistance training for women runners throughout the lifespan. So we go over program design, resistance training for adolescent athletes, resistance training for adult women athletes and then postpartum athletes. Those will be available for purchase in a few weeks after the program is done. Just a little nod to that here.
And real quick, sorry, it's postmenopausal, not postpartum.
Postmenopausal. Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. Just so that we know your expectations.
Yes. Yes. No pregnancy stuff is covered in our webinar. I apologize about that.
That's anyway. For future, potentially. But
yes. So bone health is a really important centerpiece, I think, throughout our course, and why we think and we believe that resistance training is invaluable to women athletes. But I think another reason that maybe isn't talked about enough is the confidence that it can give you and the sense of resiliency and sturdiness that is a little less tangible on outcomes, I guess you could say, and more about this internal sense of resiliency. And I think that's a big reason why I enjoy doing it, is because it makes me feel powerful and strong and sturdy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. That's a big one to touch on. I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's a huge part, is just the feels.
Yes, the feels.
Feels. I don't know how else to describe it. When you are able to pick up something heavy, put it back down multiple times and set PRs and all that. And I think seeing that progress, especially if you're new to it, you'll see really fast progress, and that's really empowering.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can speak to that. I've been strength training for many, many years throughout my career, off and on as an athlete. And I think that it's so fun when you're early on in strength training. If you're feeling like you haven't made progress somewhere, you will feel progress with strength training. And that's, you know, that can happen really quickly. You know, over a matter of just like 4 to 6 weeks, you can start to feel that progress. It's really, really, really fun. So, yeah. So what are some of the other reasons why to include strength training? Or maybe, do you think that everybody needs to do strength training?
No, I wish that everyone liked it and wanted to do it, because of the bone health benefits, the muscle building, and just the long-term possible health effects. But some people don't like it, and some people have other things in their lives that are going to take precedence over that, and that's not necessarily going to set them up for weakness or injury or anything like that. So no, I do not think it's necessary. I think if you like it, absolutely continue doing it. If you don't, I'd first want to know, like, what have you done? You know, is there a program that would make you feel powerful and strong? You know, have you not been introduced to different ways of doing it that you might enjoy? Because there are so many different ways to strength train, right? But no, I don't think it's necessary for everyone. How about you?
I would absolutely agree with that. And I think we're on the same page. We would love if everyone we worked with loved it as much as we did. And that's simply not the case. And not everyone will have access to the things that would offer the strength training benefits. And so I think as coaches, as clinicians, it's always important to kind of meet people where they are. And we have enough evidence to tell us that it's not a requirement to success and positive outcome in life, in sport, and whatever else. It is an adjunct, a supportive means to get to a particular goal. I also think once you've been exposed to it, in a way that does elicit some of that excitement, it's more enjoyable. And I have to say that I don't think very many women athletes are exposed to it in a way that elicits that excitement. Mm-hmm. And I want to touch on this a little bit today and chat about some of that, but I'm curious to hear if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's becoming hopefully more common that we see more women in the gym being exposed to it in that way. But I especially noticed that in the age group, probably like 50 and up in females. And I think of my mom and then some patients in that age group that I have. It just hasn't been something that ever occurred to them, or that like lifting heavy weights, even like getting comfortable with a barbell, that was just never something that they experienced. And so when you talk about strength training, it just doesn't elicit that positive effect because they've never felt that.
Right. Yeah. I think too, when we look at just like young youth athletes, I kind of maybe look at it from the outset and say, in high school, what were the boy athletes doing, you know, in their downtime or as part of their training, as part of the football team? They were in the gym. They were lifting weights. And I can't say the same for my experiences in high school. And I think as a young athlete, I had to, and I don't think I did these things. I think my mom was part of pushing me towards this, but it was like after I tore my ACL, all of a sudden it was like, oh, I should be in the gym. Mm-hmm. And that's like a little too late at that point to be implementing some of these strategies that can help build a strong athlete and body awareness. And I think girls aren't exposed to gym type environments at almost nearly at all at a young age, to the extent that boys are. And there's some cultural things there, some gender bias things, lots of different contexts play into why that might be. But I think it would be a great thing if we really encouraged our young girls to get some exposure to that at some point in their athletic career at a young age. And then it's only going to increase if they stay involved in sports as they enter, you know, young adult to adulthood.
Definitely. Yeah. So do you think like having gyms available to do that, gyms specifically for females, or classes in high school, or all of the things, what do you think?
Yeah.
How that looks, or coaches responsible for that, or you know, how we fit that in their schedule?
That's a great question. I don't know if I have a great solution other than to say I think that some girls do need role models to expose them to that. So whether that's their coach or a mentor, or I think coaches are probably one of the best avenues to that, quite frankly. I think we need somebody to say, we're going to do this as part of our training. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's just the end of the sentence. Like, this is part of your training. I don't care if you like it or not. Mm-hmm. To an extent, we're going to do it just like, you know, soccer practice. We're going to do this weave drill. Oh, I hated weave drills. But they made us do it anyway. And I think there's a certain degree of that needs to happen. I think too, at least in my environments as a physical therapist and coach now, part of what I try to do is create, especially for runners, adult runners, safe and quiet environment spaces that don't feel like there's going to be 100 eyes on you watching if you're quote unquote doing it right. You know, we know that women who go to the gym are more subject to unwanted comments, lingering eyes, sexual harassment, just all of these things that create an environment that doesn't feel comfortable or safe. So then why would I want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's like a sort of spectrum of how we can create these spaces. And for many women, it's just about creating an environment that feels comfortable and safe, and that reinforces this activity can be enjoyable, and that there are really easy, simple ways to apply these things throughout your life. That don't force you into that discomfort all the time.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, allow you to keep it simple. You know, I think social media is good for certain things, but I think a lot of times we try to get really fancy. And what I've heard from multiple people is like, there are so many possible things, and I've been given so many options that I just don't do anything. And I think that's kind of where we're at, is it's just like adding to the list of, oh, I need to do this for this injury, or this for my back, and then this for my hip, and all of these stretches to add to that. And then it's all of a sudden this laundry list of things, and you don't even know why you're doing half the things that you're doing. So I think that safe space, and then a plan to keep it really simple.
A plan. Yeah. The plan, I think, is critical too. Lots of women athletes kind of spin their wheels a little bit, looking for some sort of solution to what they want. And, you know, runners especially will send laundry lists of exercises that they've been doing to try and keep their tissues healthy, to work in, you know, quote unquote activation exercises. And it's a list of, you know, 30 different exercises when maybe all they need is five. Mm-hmm. And that's a big difference from just like a physiological stressor, mm-hmm. right? But also cognitive stressor, you know? I mean, it's stressful having to go to the gym and be like, what am I gonna do today? What am I gonna do? I don't even know, you know? And so plans really do help with that. Pre-written plans, hiring a coach, then you can take some of that cognitive load off of your plate and just go in, put in the work, and get out, depending on your, you know, experience and comfort level.
Right, exactly. And as far as we come back to like general running strength plans, I think that I've noticed a tendency to just do a bunch of things and not really get to fatigue on them. And so I think what we're missing for a lot of runners is actually working on strength, getting to that point where they're close to, you know, 85% of one rep max and doing multiple reps there. And you end up, I mean, it's not harmful, right? But you end up doing a lot of these like bridges and clams, right. Side-lying leg lifts, or, you know, even we did, gosh, at ASU, cross country strength and conditioning program, we were doing bicep curls. And I remember being like, why am I doing
and like, mirror muscles
will help with running, like you're pumping your arms. I'm like, no, that's
was not. I'm curious about this. Who was responsible for writing these programs for you?
It was the same strength conditioning people, or maybe their interns, who did like the football, basketball. So they didn't care about us. So it was like, let's just throw some things at them and, you know, put them in the weight. Their coach wants them in the weight room. We'll just write something down for them probably.
Yeah.
but you know, even we could probably make that same argument for even some of the stuff we see on some runners' plans, you know, like, do we need to do, you know, multiple planks every single day, or are there more effective trunk exercises that we could be doing in addition to strengthening at the same time? So I think we're chronically giving them less load than they can handle.
100%. I would agree with that. What are some exercises that you think are valuable for runners to be integrating into their routines regularly?
I think as far as like heavy loads, I think squats, even basic, either front or back squats, depending on whether you want to target a little bit more quad dominant or hip dominant. I think deadlifts are really good. And, you know, there's so many variations, first of all, for feeling strong, that one's great.
I know, that one is just like, rah!
Exactly. And then just life tasks, you know, and all of these hit major muscle groups that we work in running. Let's see, another heavy one. I like rear foot elevated split squats for runners too, to get a little bit more of a single leg bias.
100%.
And those are probably my big three as far as the heavy ones go.
Yeah, those are same for me. Squats, deadlifts, rear foot elevated split squats. Yeah, single leg RDLs are another decent one. Those ones you maybe can't load quite as heavy though, because you're, you know, worried about balance at that point. So,
loaded step ups, maybe with a weight vest if the barbell's unstable.
Right. So, yeah, I think pairing everything down, we do still want to be hitting, you know, a bunch of different muscle groups for athletes, upper body, lower body, core, all of that stuff. But I think it gets way over complicated and in the weeds for so many people that it becomes like, why would I do this? Why would I integrate this into my routine? It's going to take me 90 minutes to do this exercise and I have an hour run to do later today. Like, I don't know why people would do it. I personally would never do it either. So,
right. Exactly.
Yeah. So
keep it to, I mean, I think, I don't remember where I read this or heard this, but thinking about for runners again, I know we're coming back to that, but that's.
Well, that's, I mean, this is what the podcast is about.
But making sure that your strength training time is still kind of that 80-20 rule. It's not taking over more than 20, maybe 30% of your total exercise time for the week. So
yes.
Generally speaking, if you're running, what would that be? If you're running 10 hours or if you're exercising 10 hours a week, your strength training should not be more than 2 hours. And I think for most of us, it's going to be a lot less than that. You know, we're not exercising 10, unless you're training for a long distance event. But right. I feel like 2 to 3 30-minute sessions a week is generally
fine. Plenty. I 100% agree with that. Yeah, 100% agree with that. And then as somebody is increasing their training load with running or with their sport and entering more of what I would consider peak season training, so high volume, maybe a good amount of intensity, that can drop down to once a week. And we can still maintain the benefits we achieved from doing it before and keep you trending in the right direction. So, you know, I think, again, this is where a coach can be really valuable. Steph and I both coach. So if you're needing help, reach out to us so that maybe you don't have to think about all that. But if you're somebody who likes to handle their stuff on their own, keeping it really simple, a squat, a deadlift, a jumping exercise, maybe an upper body row, an upper body push, a core exercise, like super simple. You can spread those out over 2 days. You can do them all at once if you really want to. We don't have to be doing all this, you know, hip activation, clamshell stuff to have good, strong, robust tissues.
Definitely. Yeah. So with that, and another reason I think it's super helpful to have a coach and why I ended up using or hiring my physical therapist who helped me with my labral tear, Renee, as my coach is using strength potentially for injury risk reduction or injury management. So how do you go about doing that?
I mean, obviously, okay. How do I word this? I am very biased. I think that it helps so much with that. If we look at the research, the research doesn't really support me in saying that, but I don't care. Do as I say. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Some of the research, like they haven't used your training program,
that's right.
Your training program in the research. So they're just clearly missing the boat on that.
Yeah. No, I think this is a great moment of acknowledgement in the coaching world where coaching and research don't always align in how we approach things because of people's individual needs and characteristics. So in my experience, implementing strength training of any kind, whether it's heavy loaded resistance exercises or a little bit of like the, you know, core activation stuff, it helps. It helps people feel like they're being supportive to their body and their tissues. And I think that so often it's an opportunity to pare things down and simplify it to target that individual in a way that really is going to work for them. So do we have enough evidence to confidently say that strength training is going to prevent injury? Absolutely not. Anecdotally, I will say that of the runners that I work with, it definitely seems to help support their experience as an athlete in that capacity. And for heaven's sake, we're physical therapists. Like the way that we treat pain and injury is so often with exercise, and it works. And there is data that says exercise helps with pain. Mm-hmm. What do you feel about all this?
Mic drop. I think we're on the same page with this too. And I think that for, yeah, again, anecdotally in my own experiences, I think it was about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I tripped off a Achilles tendon. I would call it more of a tendonitis because it was after some hill running and I could barely walk. My Achilles was so sore. Started doing some heel raises. Did I make any strength changes that week by doing heel raises? No, but my pain went away very quickly. So yes, exercise absolutely helps with pain. And do I believe that continuing to work on calf strength or whatever load through the Achilles in a different way than just hill running helps to keep my Achilles healthy? 100%. Same thing with my hip after the labral tear. If I do adductor planks like once or twice a week, and in addition to some other hip stuff, my hip feels fine. Provided that I do other things, you know, I don't just go out and run hilly miles, you know, provided I do the other things. But yes, that and anecdotally, especially with tendinopathies, with labral issues, I think there's evidence that if it makes our bones stronger, it could reduce risk of stress fractures. So I think that there's a definite possibility. It's just not quite supported in research. But with that said, not doing strength training doesn't mean you're going to get injured.
Right. Yeah. That's like an important acknowledgement, right? It's like, if you don't strength, I work with plenty of runners right now who like just don't want to do it, and that's fine. And they're doing great. They're, you know, maybe they have some aches and pains, some niggles. I think I haven't worked with a single person who is like 100% pain-free all the time, because human beings will have pain at some point in their lives. But you can do wonderfully without it and still achieve the goals you want to achieve in a healthy fashion, provided you're implementing sound training.
I think one of the fun parts about being a coach, and some of the feedback I've gotten as well as a physical therapist, is when something comes up like, oh, I had a little bit of a knee ache the other day, or my hamstring started to feel tight, just changing their strength program, because I know both you and I provide strength training in our coaching as well. Yeah. Just tweaking their strength training program a little bit, most of the time we'll nip that in the bud immediately.
Yes.
It's so fun to see.
This is why hiring a physical therapist as your run coach is so invaluable. And I think the thing that really sets us apart in that way is because people have training aches and pains, we can make subtle adjustments that move them in the right direction, knowing full well we might not be providing skilled physical therapy in that process, but we have the knowledge to say, okay, I know kind of what the next possible solution is here. And you're right, it's so valuable. It is just, I just cannot speak highly enough of our profession. I think that if you have the chance to work with a run coach who is also a physical therapist, you will not regret it. Wow, strong bias coming out there, but I agree with you. I just so agree with you. So, yeah.
Anything else on that? I feel like we covered it.
I know. I feel like there's so much to talk about, but I think that we covered some good things here today. And if you have questions about strength training for you or someone you know, or run coaching and what that looks like, Steph and I both offer these services. You can hit us up. I'll include our contact info in the show notes, I guess is what it's called, as I usually do. And I think that's a wrap on this little show here today.
Yeah, I think one more thing, just the take homes, I think, are that we can simplify it. Strength training has a ton of benefits.
Tons.
Specifically runners. But there is an art to it, especially if you've got a history of injury or training plateaus, really. So that's where we can come in. We can really help. Or any PT who's a coach, really.
Exactly. But us specifically.
Exactly. Awesome.
Awesome.
Right. So thank you for being here, and we will catch you next week.
Yep.